Doc calls on the telephone yesterday from Minnesota, and I never picked up that phone. I just happened to pick it up. Praise the Lord, good news. Well, we're having a conference next year, and we'd like to see about getting Charlie Osborne to come and be our keynote speaker. I said, praise God, brother, this is Charlie Osborne speaking. He says, oh, praise God, hallelujah. He said, brother, you'll never know what you've done to my life. Here I go again. I believe we've got to have those moments to keep walking. See, my walk with God is a decision. Jesus' walk with his Father was a decision. And his flesh was involved, and he didn't want his flesh to have to suffer. So he said this. Now, this is the second time he prayed. My Father, if it is not possible that this cup can pass without me drinking it, your will be done. He's asking him again. I just really like you to pass this thing by, but it's not my will, it's your will. That's just the second time he prayed. How many times did St. Paul pray to be removed from a thorn in his flesh? Do you think that Jesus Christ was sitting here demonstrating to us the pain and the trial of the flesh, the thorn of the flesh, the desire of the flesh, the security of the flesh? Jesus was troubled and sorrowful. Where does that spirit come from? From the flesh. The fall of man. The great tribulation period. The four horses that rode that spewed death and horror over this world like the world has never seen and never will see again. And Jesus, his job was to take those horses to task and render them helpless so that you and I might enter into the reality of those horses being killed in us. And I'll tell every one of you, when you start killing those selfish horses, those horses that would strike out and kill, those horses that would hold a scale and judge good or evil, when you begin to kill those horses in you, I'll tell you, you will enter into a battle that will absolutely overwhelm you. You'll walk sometimes overwhelmed. And it's only by God's grace and mercy you'll come through. Lord, your will be done. I don't understand this thing. I've entered into if I'd have known what I'm into probably 14 years ago, I'd have never jumped into the struggle. I don't think I would have. But the call and the desire to know God was greater than anything I couldn't hold on to anything. The call was too great. I was overwhelmed by the call, and I have to carry my flesh along with it. And my flesh doesn't want to suffer. Amen. Now listen to this. Then he returned and once more found his disciples asleep. Them suckers were still sleeping. They weren't the least bit concerned about what Jesus had just entered into. In fact, in this particular part, it said he sweated great drops of blood. We couldn't possibly enter into the reality of that kind of suffering. For the sins of the world, all of the pain, all of the sin, all of the corruption, all of death, all that we judged one another with, he was assuming it on himself. He was taking it within himself. The one without sin was becoming sin so that you and I could look at one another and have compassion and mercy and love and forgiveness for one another as we walk in our walk. And folks, it's tough, especially when you find somebody doing something really, really, really wrong. I mean, man, you are wrong. Amen. It's hard. Is this too much this morning? Y'all think it's right on the mark? Listen, I've never preached this message in my whole life. I never understood it till this week. Oh, listen, I've tried a whole bunch of people are asleep around me. And you know what? It's okay. afraid. Jesus didn't shoot them because they were asleep. He didn't condemn them because they were asleep. He just told them that the flesh was weak, the spirit is willing, but we know the problem that you're in. Go to sleep. And that was the last prayer Jesus prayed. Jesus went back and he asked his Father for the third time, Lord, let this cup pass me, but if it is your will, I'll drink of it. And he went back to the disciples, and what did he say to them? Go ahead and rest. Sleep on. Sleep on. Let's all say, sleep on. You can't enter in somebody else's storm. And I don't care how hard you want somebody else to get in there with you, they'll go to sleep on you. They won't understand the struggle. They won't understand the battle. And you'll have to determine to walk, or you won't go through the will of God. You'll succumb to the flesh. Sleep on. Thank God, when the disciples were in distress, Jesus had the compassion and mercy to stand up and calm the storm. Because, folks, I'm going to tell you today, if he didn't have the mercy and the compassion to stand up and calm the storm that's in me, I couldn't make it. I couldn't. He has the power. That's the reason I've had to make myself not to depend on anyone and love everybody. Not to depend on anything from anybody for any reason. And I'm going to tell you, it's a devastating thing to go through. Sleep on. Jesus drank the drink. And I want to tell all of you, he fully expects us to drink the drink. You'll drink from the same cup. You'll carry the same cross. I want to tell you, at that particular moment, he was a lonely man. He didn't have one person, not even the ones that loved him the most, the very cause could stand with him. And when you start through your trial and when you call out to somebody, folks, don't be disappointed if they can't stand. That's the reason God says, for all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ. For all things, this is God's will. For Charlie Osley, I praise God in all things. Because the minute I stop and start working on a thing, I've just walked away from God. I believe Brian Casey is one of the greatest preachers in the whole world. I believe that Tony Tolomeo is one of the greatest preachers in the world. I believe that Leslie Rutt is one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. And if I knew all of your names, I could go down and say the same thing about each one of you. I think you are absolutely one of the greatest preachers that ever lived, because there's only one of you, and you're only called to do the work that God's called you to do. You can't do somebody else's work. And the day that you can humble yourself and walk in the work that God's called you to do, to deny yourself, to suffer, will not retaliate, not expect somebody else to keep watch with you. You'll enter into the peace. You know, I'm going to close with this. You know the next thing that happened right after Jesus went through all of this? Y'all know what happened to him? What happened? No. The angels came and ministered to him. The angels came. And folks, if you're not willing to enter into the reality of drinking the cup by never be ministered to by the angels. The angels came and ministered to him. I'm going to tell you, folks, they minister inside. It wasn't an outward physical ministry. It was something that God was doing inside with the angels. And I'm convinced in that hour he was prepared, because the flesh is weak, he said it. The angels have come. Brother Brian won't know how to come. Brother Tony won't know how to come. They'll want to. They won't know how. They don't know how to get inside and minister to you. Is this making any sense to you at all? Another thing I'm saying is pretty lonely, but the fellowship that we have is the thing that keeps it going. I have a wonderful fellowship with Tony. I have wonderful fellowship with Brian. I have wonderful fellowship with David. I have wonderful fellowship with John, with Zeke. I have wonderful fellowship, folks, with every one of you in here. I have wonderful fellowship with my wife. I have wonderful fellowship. But I'll tell you, when you're in distress, they'll be laying there sound asleep on you. I mean sound asleep. And if you allow that to disturb you and to put you in a state of regret or remorse or anger, folks, you have just walked away from God. You're not to get angry at somebody in their sleep. And I'll tell you, I've struggled with that. Listen, that is the hardest thing I've had to fight through. The hardest thing in this ministry, I thought forgiving my next-door neighbor for raping my 6-year-old daughter was a difficult thing. I thought that giving up the airplane to the man that stole it was a difficult thing. That's nothing compared to walking this walk and having the one that you want to help you the most asleep. And folks, if we're not willing to enter into the reality of this, I'm going to tell you, when the crunch comes, you won't make it. And nobody can weather your storm for you but Jesus. And if you'll throw yourself into it, you don't really know what's going to happen when you throw yourself into it. You know the promise, but you don't know the actual account or how it'll come out. You just know what God has said, and if you'll jump into it, then God is able to do his thing. I feel like I'm going to tell every one of you, and I'll tell my wife, I am absolutely convinced this ministry has just moved up on another plane. I tell my wife, we'd be riding down. I said, honey, we've just entered into a new dimension of this ministry. God's calling us to a higher walk. God's calling us to a higher walk. And I am absolutely convinced this week, God called me, and along with me, he's calling you to a higher walk, a greater understanding. Don't expect anybody to help you with it. And you will never be disappointed. Just say to yourself, God, your will be done. Lord, your will be done. I'm going to love my enemies. Your will, God, has been made clear. If they rob my property, I won't ask for it back. If they don't tend to me like I think they ought to tend to me, if they're not taking care of me the way they think they ought to take care of me, it's okay, God. I'll be all right. Amen. Folks, in that, the angels are talking. I cannot describe to you the peace that I have inside, because the angels have come and ministered to me. I have a peace that there's no way I could describe to you. It's almost frightening to me, because I've never had this kind before. I've never had this kind of peace before. And it's somewhat frightening. But I know that it's come from God, because I know I've been ministered to. And I love every single person here with all of my heart. And my life is committed to do everything that I can do. And all that I have, all that God's given me, to be a witness that you might know Jesus in that wonderful, precious way. Thank you. God bless.